106.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the BizConnect radio show with myself, Martin White, and today our special co-host in the studio,
Lynette Wood from Amarose Hotels and Resorts.
Lynette, so nice to have you back in the studio.
I'm literally so excited to be back. Thank you very much for having me once again.
Oh, it's great to have you. It's quite a historic day today, isn't it?
I'm really excited today because, and I feel like it's Christmas Day, you know, for many sort of people preparing, ready for last night. So lots of businesses reopening their doors today. Really exciting for them.
Brilliant day, brilliant day. It's not necessarily the best weather to be sitting outside enjoying a pint of beer in a pub garden.
Well, no, it's obviously snowing. I don't know if you had snow where you are today, but it's snowing here today.
But there's a huge amount of marquees up everywhere, aren't there?
I think marquees, and I think those hospitality businesses that have got eating and dining outside, obviously, have really worked hard to make sure they can have customers back in their doors today.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, obviously that's going to be our theme for today. We've got two fabulous guests joining us on the show today. Who have we got, Lynette? Who's joining us today?
We've got Tim Willis today. He's Deputy Chief Exec from Thanet District Council. And we've also got Brian Downton from Downton and Alley Associates.
Brilliant. And Tim's going to be talking about all the support that TGC have been offering businesses throughout the lockdown and obviously talking about some of the new restart initiatives that are coming our way as well to help businesses, but also talking about tourism this summer as well and how Thanet are going to be preparing for welcoming thousands and tens of thousands of people to their wonderful beaches again. So, yeah, an action-packed show. I think what we'll do, Lynette, is we'll play a little bit of music and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Lovely to have you with us today for another edition of the BizConnect radio show. I'm joined in the studio today by my co-host, Lynette Wood from Almarose Hotels. Lynette, lovely to have you here.
Thanks for having me here today, Martin. Absolutely delighted to be here.
It's fair to say it's quite a busy day in the hospitality industry, on the high streets throughout the land. Tell us, what's going on in your industry? What's happening at Almarose Hotels today? Are you open for business?
Absolutely, we're open for business. So really, I'm delighted that obviously spas and leisure clubs are back open today. So all of our hotels mainly have the spa and leisure clubs. So that's absolutely wonderful. And also outside dining is open today. So I think it's just great, and I really hope that there's people out there that want to support those businesses and sort of come back out and go out for the days, etc., and hopefully we'll get to the weekend and it'll be a busy weekend too.
And I guess in your wider group, you also have some golf resort hotels, so that as a kind of a facility, a golf facility, some of those have been open for a while as well.
Yeah, so since March the 29th, those golf resorts were able to open, obviously, and you could go and play. You couldn't stay and have a drink or a beer, as I know that many golfers like to do, but now, after today, you can.
Yes, in fact, we had Chris Dorick on from North Fallen Golf Club a couple of weeks ago talking about their new horse box that's been installed there. So they're going to be able to offer outdoor catering from today in terms of, you know, hot snacks and beer on tap as well. And I think what they've done is they've sited a number of sort of trestle tables around the club for people to be able to enjoy that, obviously socially distanced. But it's not necessarily the best weather for all of that today. But I'm sure it will be at some point in the near future.
I think if you're going to the pub today, put on a scarf and a hat, you know, yes, and some gloves, and enjoy that beer or that glass of wine.
I don't know about you, but I had visions of people sort of queuing up at the doors at outside Wetherspoons in Ramsgate, for example, where I live this morning, you know, waiting to get onto the roof terrace to enjoy a pint of beer.
But I have seen that hairdressers in Ashford, where I live, on social media this morning, they are queuing outside those barbers to get those haircuts.
Yeah, and we had Rebecca Nutt on the show also a couple of weeks ago talking about her beauty salon business in Swale Cliff and also in Faversham, Serenity Health and Beauty, and they're obviously opening up today as well. So we wish you good luck, Rebecca, with all of that. It must be quite nerve-wracking for business owners, I'd imagine, after such a long kind of period of not being at work to kind of, you know, there must be a sort of a few butterflies in the stomach, I'd imagine.
Do you know, I said that this morning. morning on my socials. I am absolutely overjoyed that these businesses get to open today. I need my nails and my hair doing ASAP. But also what I'd like to say to everybody out there, you know, be kind to these businesses. They are a little bit rusty. Maybe they aren't necessarily fully staffed as they have been, you know, for whatever reasons that they are. Maybe they're still using the furlough system for whatever reason that is in terms of, you know, revenue lost in the past few months. So, you know, go out to them, enjoy them, but also be kind.
No, that's a really good point. Yeah, and there are going to be some teething troubles, I'm sure, you know, along the way. But isn't it positive, though? It's so good. And you know, obviously the high street as well. I don't know about, you know, where you live, but, you know, our high street has been incredibly quiet. There's been no, you know, no market, for example. You know, the flower man that you might go to on a Friday hasn't been there. It's just, you know, there's been a sort of a kind of a malaise, if you like, on the high street, which hasn't been nice to see. It's not been healthy.
No,
at all.
And I think today is just that step back into a little bit more of reality. We said that off air today, Martin, when we came in, and it's just, I feel positive today.
Yes.
And I think that's a good thing. You know, let's wake up, let's be positive, let's move forward. And I just think it's exciting, and good luck to all of those businesses that are opening today.
Yeah. Well, we have got a couple of guests on the show today as well. We've got, as I mentioned earlier, we've got Tim Willis, who's the Deputy Chief Executive at Thanet District Council. He's going to be talking about what TDC and also other local authorities, obviously everyone's in the same boat, have been doing to help businesses through lockdown in terms of, you know, grant funding and business support, and crucially the new restart grant that's coming down the pipe as well, Lynette. I think that's going to be really important for a lot of businesses that, you know, perhaps have got a cash flow problem in the you know, in the immediate term on reopening, and they need some support to be able to buy stock and get their business.
You don't realise, do you, what they need, you know, to put in the fridges, or what they need to put in the taps, or exactly. whatever. And I actually saw on the news the other day. Did you see about all that beer that was going down the drain?
Well, at the last lockdown, yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, huge amount of waste there. And, you know, brewers, you know, I guess they've had to take a bit of a punt this time round as well, haven't they, in terms of, well, you know, our estate or our customers can only open up outside. You know, how much demand is there going to be? How much should we physically, you know, produce? People like Shepherd Neame, for example, in Kent. So it's not easy, is it? You know, it's much easier to, you know, we always say this, it's much easier to kind of turn a business off, I think, than it is to necessarily turn it on.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, that's where it also comes into play in terms of what I was saying about be kind. You know, they don't know how many customers are going to walk through their door. Do you know what I mean? Or are they going to be busy or they're not going to be busy? How do they staff that?
Yeah.
I think it's very different, and it's about sort of just moving forward. And I actually did a little bit of a poll on my social media this morning, just asking who's going to be going straight out and who's going to be waiting. And it was about a sort of 75% definitely going out and 25% sort of actually staying and waiting. So, you know, people just feel a bit differently, but obviously if you are heading out, have a great time.
Well, you've got quite a big day yourself tomorrow, haven't you? You were saying, so you're going to be heading out for a meal tomorrow evening.
It's our wedding anniversary tomorrow night, so I absolutely booked our table a couple of weeks ago to a local pub, which is a small business, and I just thought I want to go out and support these people. And you know, brilliant. I'll have to put my scarf and my hat on and my gloves, but I'll be there.
Well, that's, I mean, that, you know, that is life returning to normal, isn't it? Beginning to return to normal. You know, you've got a big, you know, got a birthday or a you know, a wedding anniversary, you want to go out and celebrate that.
And how many Proseccos do you need to keep warm? That's what I want to know.
You'll have to come on again and tell us all about that. Brilliant. I think what we'll do now is we'll play a little bit more music, Lynette, and then we've got some events coming up that I want to talk about as well this week, some business type stuff. So let's play a bit of music and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the BizConnect radio show with myself, Martin White, and my fabulous co-host in the studio today,
Lynette Wood.
Lynette, we were talking about obviously the momentous reopening of our high streets and businesses today. Tell us what's going on at the Ashford International Hotel just up the road here today, because I know you're very close to everything that's going on there as well.
Yep, absolutely. So the Ashford International Hotel have opened their leisure club, so they're ready for their existing members, and they are available obviously for new members. So if you're looking for a new gym, then obviously you can join there. Don't forget, they've got a swimming pool as well. And I've seen an offer this morning that if you join, you can get bed and breakfast for two at the hotel as part of your membership. So appreciate that's obviously only local, maybe, but a night away, you know, away from the children or just something different,
yeah,
you know, after the 17th of May would be wonderful. So that's an option for you if you wanted to look at gyms.
Yeah.
Beauty therapy is open as well. So obviously all of the, you know, treatments are back open there too.
Brilliant. I wonder how that's worked, because, you know, things like golf clubs, for example, you know, businesses like golf clubs have kept their membership subscriptions running. Otherwise, you know, they just wouldn't have been able to reopen. They simply wouldn't have been able to you know, exist as a business. But, you know, you know, things like leisure clubs and, you know, at the Ashford International Hotel, for example, do you know if the subscriptions have kind of just kind of kept running,
no,
or they've been sort of suspended? How does it work?
So obviously we've got the golf we talked about earlier. So anybody that has a golf membership, they were frozen. And anybody that had a leisure club membership, they were also frozen. So you know, the business hasn't been earning any money while they haven't been able to play or while they haven't been able to go to the gym. So the fact that the golf's opened obviously on the 29th of March is wonderful, because you can open those sort of direct debits back open again. And again, now that those leisure clubs are. But I think it's just there'll be people that haven't sort of got into it. Maybe they're doing something different. But no, the gym's still available there. So do pop down and see them.
Yeah. And no doubt you'll be able to enjoy a nice cup of coffee or something as well, albeit socially distanced and possibly obviously outside in your dressing gown today.
Yeah,
so.
And I think that people might not know, if you've not been to the Ashford International, you might not know where that space is. But there is a lovely little patio out the back of the hotel, yes, which you can actually have a cup of coffee with. Yeah. I probably wouldn't just keep your dressing gown on, I'd maybe put something else on, a little bit warmer.
I bet there's been a huge demand for patio heaters, hasn't there, in the last sort of month or so, as people kind of gear up. That would have been the business to be in, I think, wouldn't it?
You know,
the supply and install of patio heaters.
We missed a trick there, didn't we, Martin?
Yeah. I'm not sure what that's going to be doing for climate change, but hey-ho, you know, we can't have it all at once, can we? Let's hope the sun starts shining soon. I think that's the key thing. You know, this time last year, I you know, my OneDrive, it keeps kind of, I don't know what your phone's like, but it keeps popping up photographs of, you know, this time a year ago. And I was sitting in my garden having a barbecue. But, you know, that couldn't have been, you know, further from the realms of possibility this weekend.
My memories were exactly the same. I think this day last year was Easter Sunday, as in the date. So that's what my memories were this morning. And we were all in the garden and having a wonderful time sunbathing. Crazy.
Yeah, we had a great spring, didn't we?
We did.
Super. Right, Lynette, let's move on. We've got a couple of business events going on this week that we need to talk about. What have you got? What's on your
I've got the Marsh Network, which is the online networking event, and that is this Wednesday, the 14th of April. Mm-hmm. It's free to attend for your first visit. And for more information of this and any other events, you can go to supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Brilliant. And you've got some startup business workshops, I believe, as well, that are happening again. Herbiz, tell us about that.
So I've got ones coming up in there's May and July for Herbiz. Mm-hmm. And there's free startup program for women in East Sussex and Kent.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Good. And those are sort of, I think they're monthly now as well, which is great. And there is another series of startup workshops that the Let's Do Business group are running as well. If you're down in East Sussex, if you're in the Hastings or Bexhill area, there is now an ongoing program of business startup workshops that you might be interested in. Similar with you know, as with Herbiz, it'll be about, you know, exploring your business idea, creating a business plan, you know, managing your finance, you know, accounting needs, but also looking at, you know, access to finance. You know, where can I get finance to start my business? And crucially, marketing as well. So, Let's Do Business Group really are there to kind of help new business startups, whether you're a female, a budding female entrepreneur, or more generally. So do have a look at their website. And again, all of the registration details for those are also on the Supply My Business website. There's one other thing that I want to mention, Lynette.
Cool.
Yeah, and it is a sad fact that not all businesses will be reopening, obviously. You know, whether they've kind of taken the decision themselves, or, you know, financially they just don't feel that they're able to reopen. But there is a lot of help out there, particularly, you know, for those businesses that might be struggling financially. And Adrian Dente, who was on the show recently from Opus Restructuring and Insolvency Group, is on hand to help, because you know, insolvency really, and kind of closing down a business really is very much the kind of the last resort, if you like. And, you know, if you talk to someone like Adrian, you know, early enough, he'll be able to take a look at your business and actually, you know, give you some pointers in terms of whether or not it is ultimately, you know, viable in the long term. So he's offering a free business stress test to look at where you are, look at your financials, you know, look at the marketplace that you're in as a business, and offer his you know, impartial and objective advice in terms of, you know, what the way forward might be for your business. So, you know, if you are concerned you know, about the viability of your business as a going concern, you know, do get advice, and crucially get advice early. And you know, you can contact Adrian and take advantage of his free business stress test. Again, all of that information is on the community page of Supply My Business. Lynette, I think what we'll do now is we'll play a little bit more music, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to our first guest.
Oh, looking forward to talking to Tim.
Tim, absolutely. So join us after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for joining the BizConnect radio show today with myself, Martin White, and my fabulous co-host in the studio,
Lynette Wood.
Lynette, we also have a guest on the phone. Tell us, who have we got with us?
So Tim Willis is with us. He's the Deputy Chief Executive from Thanet District Council.
Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Martin. Hello, Lynette.
Hello, Tim.
Great to have you with us today. And we were talking about the fact it's quite a busy day in the business world today. So, you know, tell us, what are you kind of anticipating in Thanet? Are you sort of anticipating lots of pubs and hospitality venues being open today? Is there a sort of a buzz on the aisle today, Tim?
Yes, definitely. It's same as everywhere across the country, I suspect. It's exciting times to feel that finally, perhaps, we are moving back to something that resembles normality, only in stages. And we're obviously aware that a lot of places that would like to be open can't open because of the rules around outside eating and drinking. But the pathway for non-essential retail as well as hospitality is hopefully a route that we're going down that we're not going to have to reverse out of again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we would all echo that, definitely. There is no going back now, hopefully, from where we are and the roadmap that we've got. But Tim, just tell us a little bit about your role as Deputy Chief Executive at TDC. I would imagine it's quite a sort of all-encompassing role. You know, tell us in your own words exactly what you're there to do. What's your kind of day-to-day role, as it were?
Yep. Well, I've been at Thanet Council for now nearly 6 years, and obviously, as my job title implies, I deputise for the Chief Executive on occasions for various things. But in terms of day-to-day responsibilities, I oversee a number of services, and they're housing, planning, communications, digital transformation, and finance. I'm the Council's Chief Finance Officer. Mm-hmm. So I think it's not as if all the other areas haven't been very demanding as well, but particularly as the Chief Finance Officer, this last year has been particularly demanding for the Council, and I'm conscious that I've had to advise the Council on a lot of challenging issues.
In terms of, is that, you know, related to people's ability to pay things like, you know, council tax, for example, or has it been more focused around, you know, helping support as many businesses as possible, or has it been a bit of both?
Both, yes, definitely both. I think it was over a year ago when we started down this pathway with things like rates relief and grants, which I know we're going to talk about in a bit more detail. But from a strategic finance point of view, I was advising the council back in the summer that we were facing significant income losses, some expenditure, additional expenditure, but mainly income losses in areas like predictions over but also things like car parking and many other areas of the council's operations where we were forecasting a significant income loss and we were having to make tough decisions on those.
Because I think it's fair to say, isn't it, that you know, local authorities don't necessarily always get the best press. You know, locally, and we'll come on to kind of, you know, nationally in terms of, you know, the stories that have been, you know, circulating around, you know, inability to kind of pay out, you know, business grant monies and what have you. But on a kind of local level, you know, it's a tough task, isn't it? I mean, you've got to balance, inevitably, you know, what is a budget that simply isn't big enough to be able to do everything you want to do, with a need to kind of continue to provide frontline services and you know, empty bins and you know, clean streets and you know, collect rubbish from people's houses. It's not an easy job, is it? Let's face it.
No, and as we often say, we only keep 12 to 13 pence of every pound of council tax that we charge residents for planning council services, and it has to go a long way. I think it's always a challenge. On the one hand, we within the council can complain about all sorts of things, whether it be COVID or whether it be government announcements about funding, and then there's a long delay before we are informed about the details of the scheme whilst we're receiving lots of pressure from residents and businesses. But at the end of the day, we're here to provide services to the residents and businesses of Thanet, and that's always at the forefront of our minds.
Yeah. So let's move on to talk about some of that business support in particular, and specifically, you know, how many, give us a feel for, you know, the size of the business community in Thanet, Tim. How many businesses have we actually physically got?
I don't actually have the numbers in front of me, Martin. I'm sorry, it's the total number of businesses that we have. But I do know that we've been supporting thousands of businesses across Thanet in relation to both business rates relief and grants. Over the last year or so, we've administered payments in something like £80 million in the form of business rates relief and grants, which obviously... there's a lot of businesses that won't have benefited from that because primarily, I suppose, they've been in the retail, hospitality and leisure sector, but they're the areas that have been identified as those that have been most severely affected by the pandemic.
I think that's incredible. £80 million. And you think that's just one council in the area, and how many councils have had to do something similar?
Yeah. I guess, you know, as a sort of a support initiative, it's fairly unprecedented, Tim, isn't it, in terms of the money that's been coming down from central government?
Absolutely, yes. It's unprecedented, and that doesn't include the funding that the government has provided direct to the council, as it has all councils for, which is meant to go some way towards compensating the council for other increased costs and losses of income.
And I guess the other challenge that you've had to kind of to deal with is the continually sort of changing lockdown landscape. I mean, particularly at the end of last year, I mean, we had the initial kind of lockdown, you know, March for 3 months, then business opened up again, but then we had this, you know, surge in the COVID kind of infection rate towards the end of last year, and you know, there were a number of sort of grant initiatives coming down the pipe, and it was sort of quick fire stuff, really, wasn't it? And I guess you were continually having to sort of play catch up to make sure that you were able to get that money out as quickly as possible.
Yes, it's been a real challenge for the last year or so. I mean, it's been a challenge for the businesses, and it must have been really hard to keep businesses afloat, almost on life support during the various periods of lockdown. And I would say, I think I speak on behalf of my colleagues and councillors and MPs, we've all been trying to pull together to help businesses in any way we can over the last year or so. I think that there is an underlying issue here that we are all, nationally as well as locally, having to respond to something unprecedented. And the pain being felt by businesses is acute and in front of our face. So we need to respond very quickly. And the sort of machinery of government, never mind local government, isn't particularly geared up to respond very quickly, let's face it. And so we've all been trying to grapple with that. I think civil servants as well as me and my colleagues at a local level.
Yeah, I mean, there has been quite a sort of lot of adverse publicity, I think, in the national press about, you know, that not necessarily, you know, local authorities you know, being able to distribute all the monies that have been allocated. But I think in Thanet's case, that's not necessarily true, is it? You've managed to get away, you know, is it over 90% of the money that you've been allocated?
Yes, all of the money we receive in the form of funding for business grants, we pay in the form of business grants. The most recent allocation we received for discretionary funding over the last summer was £4.1 million, and we've spent nearly all of that. We've got less than 100,000 left of that, and in fact, today I'll be emailing all of the businesses that have already received the discretionary grant to say they'll get a small top-up of £100 in order to spend the last little bit of that money. I think just on the issue of delay, I am very aware that there are businesses saying, well, Rishi Sunak announced on the 3rd of March in his budget that we'd be receiving this money on restart grants and discretionary grants, but it's like 5-6 weeks later, so where is it? And we have been able to launch the council's restart grant scheme on Friday.
Good.
And as regards the discretionary scheme, there are a number of issues around that which I can describe. And there are a number of risks in going live with that scheme. But we've decided, and this is, I suppose, an exclusive for your radio show, Martin, we are going live on that today. We are going to have it up on our website, an application form for the discretionary scheme.
Fantastic.
For family businesses.
That's brilliant news. And I noticed Maidstone also went live with theirs, I think, last week. So is it a case of local authorities working together and collaborating to say, actually, you know, what's the best way of doing this? Or do you all kind of work independently and all do your own thing? Is there a forum for you guys sort of to bang heads and kind of decide the best route on things like that?
We try to, and in fact, the chief finance officers of all the districts and the county across Kent work very well together. We have a very good working relationship. One of the difficulties with this scheme, though, is I found that a number of other districts have sufficiently large regeneration or economic development teams, and they've been leading on the business grants, whereas at Thanet, we have a very small team, and so I've taken responsibility for me and my finance team to lead on it. And that does mean sometimes it's difficult to liaise too much with other districts just because we're going about it in a different way.
Yeah, fantastic. Good. Tim, I think what we're going to do now, we'll just leave it there for a minute. We're going to play a little bit of music and then we'll be straight back and we'll talk a little bit about what the council are going to be doing in terms of tourism and attracting visitors and making sure that visitors are safe this summer onto the Isle as well. So stay with us, Tim, and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us today on the BizConnect radio show. I'm delighted that we've got Tim Willis on the phone with us from Thanet District Council. Tim, great to have you with us today.
Thank you for inviting me, Martin.
We've been talking about some of the grant funding initiatives that the council has been enrolling out, obviously, and all local authorities have been rolling out to support businesses. Just before the break, we were talking about some new discretionary grant funding that I think will be available ultimately to all local authorities. So, you know, if you are out there listening, do check your local authority website for updates there. I know Maidstone, for example, also launched theirs last week. We mentioned briefly the restart grant initiative as well, Tim, but there is also some additional funding that I think Thanet and I'm sure other local authorities have qualified for in the form of a high street grant fund. Are you able to tell us a little bit about that as well?
Yes, we already had one tranche of high street funding from the government. It was £126,000, which we used to improve safety for visitors to our high streets, not just the main high streets in Broadstairs, Ramsgate, Margate, but also places like Burlington. And we spent that money, and we've been informed that it's a new fund called the Welcome Back Fund, which is a sort of second round, effectively, of High Street's funding. We're still awaiting details on how that money, we can spend that money, but we're intending to work closely with town and parish councils to agree how we're going to use that money to ensure that, to improve the public realm around the High Street, which should improve the conditions to enable businesses to attract shoppers in a continuing safe way.
Perfect. Good. Good. I mean, I think, you know, Lynette and I were talking earlier about the fact that, you know, it is sadly inevitable that not, you know, we won't be seeing all businesses reopening their doors, you know, either today or at some point in the near future, you know, on the back of this. And I think, you know, anything that can be done to, you know, to kind of to improve the aesthetic and the kind of the destination experience of our high streets will obviously be very positive in terms of, you know, instilling confidence in business owners to carry on and open their doors ultimately, Tim.
Yes, we're conscious of the need to do that in the short term. In addition to the high streets money, we've also been able to commit to investing some money in Ramsgate through the Heritage Action Zone as well, which is also going to sort of improve the public realm. And looking beyond that, we may talk further about the future of high streets, but at least for us, we know that we've got the Margate Town deal, which is worth £22 million for investment, which will be spent in conjunction with the Town Deal Board. And we've made a bid of £20 million for Ramsgate through the National Levelling Up Fund. And Thanet was prioritised in Category 1 for the Levelling Up Fund. So we're optimistic that we'll be successful in that bid.
Fantastic. Good stuff. Good. Well, I want to move on slightly now, if we can, and talk about, you know, Thanet open for business this summer, 2021. I think it's fair to say that last summer, Lynette, certainly where I live, it was a bit of a bun fight, Tim, when it came to, you know, coming out of lockdown. We had fabulous weather and everybody wanted to be in the same place at the same time. And inevitably that put huge amounts of pressure on, you know, public amenities, you know, like toilets, for example, like, you know, bins. There were pictures of, I remember, Lynette, you probably saw this as well, pictures of Margate Main Sands, you know, covered in litter after a particularly busy weekend. So tell us, Tim, what's going to be different this year? How are we going to, you know, tackle the inevitable surge in demand, if you like, if we have a good summer?
Yeah, and I hope that we will learn from last year. I think we did. People on the ground in Thanet did a fantastic job last year in extremely challenging circumstances. But certainly we've been spending an awful lot of time planning. And that's planning with our partners, loads of partners, but including the police and the RNLI, who are responsible for lifeguards. And we've established a comprehensive beach management plan, which will help ensure that we can provide safe conditions and hopefully ensure the enjoyment of large numbers of people visiting our beaches.
And I think that's...
We've also... One other thing, Lynette. We've also managed to secure public space protection orders across the aisle, which means that if there's antisocial behaviour, we don't only have the option of trying to call the police, who are obviously stretched. We can our own staff can issue fixed penalty notices because we've established PSPOs.
Wow. And I think what I was going to say was that, I mean, we have had definitely a bumpy road, haven't we, up and down. But I think because of the summer that we had last year out of lockdown, you know, there's many learnings from that we can move forward into 2021 to make sure that, you know, coming out of lockdown this year, like you say, you've spent a lot of time planning, thinking if that happens again, these are all the options that you've got in play that you can obviously use if we do have a wonderful summer and everyone comes down to Thanet. And I think another thing that I thought was great when you were talking, Tim, was about, you know, the money that you've actually had, you've invested in things for public safety, you know, public hygiene, you know, making the town look a lot better again. And I think that they're really important things that people don't necessarily know that the council are doing.
Thank you, Lynette. Yes, it's strange when you have discussions and planning about these things, you realise there's a whole lot going on that people don't even realise. One of the other things that is a you may know that Manston Airport was being used as a lorry park. And we were very concerned that that was going to continue, and a testing station for lorries into the summer season, because that would have caused huge problems for traffic coming from the M25 in London to Thanet. But we've been able to secure certainty that that won't be the case in the summer. One of the other things that I remember from last year that you don't think about is when the beaches become really, really crowded, and the RNLI are questioning whether or not they continue to provide a lifeguard service to the beach, which would be very serious. One of the other factors you don't think about is the tide. And if the beach becomes a quarter of the size that it was earlier in the day, then that creates a huge problem in itself, even if the number of visitors doesn't increase.
Of course it does, yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking about Kingsgate Bay in particular, beautiful sandy beach down there, and when the tide comes in, as you say, you know, actually the biggest chunk of the beach is totally cut off, and you can only get access down from the cliff, can't you? That's a really good point. Yeah. So, Lynette, you know more about this than anybody else. Tell us how. At what point are people actually able to go on holiday and actually stay overnight somewhere? And you know, what's the kind of roadmap for that?
I'll just speak to Boris and see what he says. The roadmap, so you can actually go away from home in your own household now and have a staycation away from home, and obviously staying in like an Airbnb or any, you know, places like that, self-catering holidays. And I actually, when I was down in Hythe the other day for a walk, there were some nice sort of B&Bs that were on the seafront there, and they can only, from the 12th of April, they're open for you to hire as a household, which I thought was quite nice that they sort of can offer that. And they might have a few bedrooms, but obviously as one household you can definitely stay away from home, so that's great. Mm-hmm. Especially as obviously this week is Easter holidays. Mm-hmm. Still, so maybe some people are heading away this weekend. 17th of May, the Ashford International, as our local hotel, will be open for overnight stays. Mm-hmm. As well as obviously all of the other hotels, and dining obviously will be available then indoors as well, I believe. And then the 21st of June, come mm-hmm. summer, hopefully things will start to ease drastically and we can have some sort of autumn events and summer events, really. And I'm not on here in terms of what are the event plans for Thanet. You know, what have we got going on in Thanet?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, Tim. I mean, you know, we have things like, you know, Folk Week in August. You know, we have Dickens Week. I mean, what is the kind of thinking around those events?
Well, certainly Folk Week is going ahead. It's having to be planned on the basis that a lot of more events might be outdoors than might otherwise have been indoors, mm-hmm. just because that you need to take a risk management approach to these things. Mm-hmm. I know we're still waiting to hear when the Turner Contemporary might open in Margate, but Dreamland is, and mm-hmm. it's receiving bookings for ticketed events. It mm-hmm. has a long programme of well-known names. Yep. The music industry performing, some more well known to me than others. I'm not sure many of the DJs.
I can imagine Tim was going, I'm not quite sure some of those artists, but they're
going
to be a sellout.
Well, I know the specials.
Oh, yes, I saw that. Yeah, the specials.
It shows my age. Yeah. But I'd say it's always a problematic when you start naming events, because there's always people very proud of their event in Thanet that you don't name. Yeah. But I think. It's what's very encouraging, as Lynette said, is that if everything goes according to plan, then bed and breakfast and hotels will start be able to receive guests from May, and that'll be really good news for a lot of people in Thanet.
I know Kent as a whole is a destination, isn't it? You know, and hopefully we haven't done in terms of our Kent variant, you know, what it was, but Kent as a destination is a place to come to, and really, you know, we've got some gorgeous beaches, some really nice places to visit.
Food and drink, I mean, wineries, and yeah, everything.
Well, you know me, I love a winery.
Yeah. Fantastic. Go on, Tim. Go on.
I was just going to say, it's a random thought, but there was a survey that I read about last month that said that Margate was the best seaside town in England to buy a property. I think we in Thanet don't just want day trippers. We want people to stay for a holiday and then maybe even choose it as a place to live and work.
Yeah. And I think we're starting to see that now, aren't we, with more and more larger businesses, you know, in London saying, actually, you know, there's a sort of work from home preference now, you know, 2 or 3 days a week. And it may even lead to more kind of, you know, smaller regional satellite offices being set up, which would benefit us as well, wouldn't it? You know, actually bringing, you know, skilled labour and skilled jobs into the Isle. So that would be good all round, yeah. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Tim, well, look, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you're actually on holiday this week, so I really appreciate you taking the time out to just, you know, have a chat with us on the show today. And we do keep our fingers crossed for all businesses, not just in Thanet, but across England and the UK, for a very successful summer season. And yeah, and as you say, hopefully this is the beginning of the end, as it were, so in terms of lockdown. But for now, Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And yeah, we wish you all the best in your endeavours in terms of you know, continuing to help businesses. And yeah, and good luck.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect,
the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us today on the BizConnect radio show. Lynette, we've got another guest on the line. Tell us, who's on the phone?
We've got Brian Downton on the phone. He's the practice principal at Downton & Alley Associates. Really looking forward to speaking to Brian.
Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good to be on again.
It's fantastic to have you with us. I know you've just come off the back of a bit of a mammoth fundraising event over the Easter weekend. So tell us about that. What have you been up to?
So Easter weekend, starting Good Friday at 11 a.m. and finishing 11 a.m. on Sunday, I did, in effect, ran two marathons. So I ran 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours, raising money for a great local charity, Holding On and Letting Go.
Wow, that sounds like quite an ordeal. Now, Lynette, I know you're into your fundraising as well. Just tell us what you were up to recently, Lynette. You did quite a long walk, didn't you?
I did, actually, yeah. So, I mean, I do think that's quite drastic, Brian, to eat your Easter eggs on a Sunday, you know, to run that amount of time before. But, so in February as a team, we walked 1,000 miles as a team and were raising money for Mind. So there was 8 of us and we all walked 125 miles each throughout the month.
Fantastic. Brian, tell us, were you feeling a little bit tired and a little bit sore after that? Because that is quite a marathon, isn't it, literally?
Yeah, it's surprising, actually. So I've done a few endurance events in the past. Mm. It was totally different because your body has time to recover in, you know, 3 hours between each 4 mile run. So it was more the actual tiredness from lack of sleep, because we were obviously through the night as well.
So did you nap through the night as well, like have little like cat naps?
Basically that was the only sleep I had, you know, during the whole 48 hours. So, you know, 3 a.m. was definitely the worst one.
Yeah.
Getting waking up and going back out at 3 a.m. but the really brilliant thing about it was all 13 runs, including the two 3 a.m. ones. I had friends running with me, volunteers to run with me.
So. Yes.
It's incredible.
So that's 13 individual runs you had to do over the 2 days of 4 miles each. That really is quite incredible. Tell us, how much money have you raised, Brian?
Well, at the moment, as we stand, with gift aid, it's just shy of $5,000
at the moment. Wow, that's incredible. That is amazing. Do email me, by the way, the link that you were going to, and obviously I'll make my contribution, you know, gladly to that as well.
And obviously this is replacing where we'd normally be raising loads of money from the spring ball that we have every year.
Well, fantastic. Fantastic work. Great. Well, Brian, let's bring it back to a sort of a business theme now. Yeah. Tell us, you run Downton and Alley, a financial planning practice based in Dartford. You've been going now for 21 years, which is incredible. But just give us an overview, just give us a flavour for the types of financial planning advice that you guys offer.
Yeah, so it's myself and I've got 6 other advisors, and we offer the whole range of financial services. So from mortgage advice is one area we specialise in. So any type of mortgage at all, through to protection, so life cover, critical illness cover, income protection, and that's both personal and business. So we do a lot of protection for business clients looking to protect themselves and their businesses. And then on to wealth business, so investments and pensions.
Mm. Well, we're going to focus in on one area that I know is very dear to Lynette's heart at the moment, and that is mortgages. Because, like, Lynette, you tell us, your oldest is in the process of buying a property.
She is, yeah. So my eldest is 22 years old, and her boyfriend are buying their first property and using the new Help to Buy scheme that came out this year.
Brilliant. So, Brian, tell us, what is Help to Buy exactly? What kind of incentives are there out there at the moment for first-time buyers and other buyers?
Yeah, in the coming weeks, there's going to be two Help to Buy schemes out there. So there's the one which I think Lynette is talking about, where the specifically new builds, where the government basically give you a loan for part of the purchase. So typically, you'll put down 5% yourself, 20% loan from the government, which is interest-free for 5 years, and get a 75% mortgage from the lenders. Mm-hmm. So because it's a low loan to value that the lenders are lending, they'll tend to offer much better rates to you. So that's the first one. And then there is another help to buy, which is launching any day, which was the one that was mentioned in the recent budget,
mm-hmm.
where the government will guarantee an element of the mortgage to encourage lenders to come back into the 95% loan to value.
Right. Okay. So the first example, Lynette, is that what does that ring true with you in terms of? I guess what it helps first time buyers into new build property do, Brian, is just kind of get the deposit together that much more quickly.
Well,
is that right?
Yeah, it's the deposit partly, but also they're borrowing less. So because they're not paying anything for 5 years, although the lender will take into account the fact that there will be a payment at some stage in the future, it does allow people to buy probably a property slightly above where they would normally.
Yes, right. Exactly what she's doing, yeah. So where she would normally obviously probably have gone for like a 2-bed, they've managed to go for a 3-bed, which means obviously is a house that they can be in for a much longer period of time without having to move again in sort of 4 or 5 years' time.
Mm.
Yeah. And hopefully in 5 years' time they'll be in a position to either, you know, to get rid of that borrowing from the government in some way, either by paying it off or by moving up, you know, scaling up, getting a bigger property and paying it all off.
So. Yeah, and I'm sure, like you do with your clients, you know, their mortgage advisor talked to them about how much money they need in terms of their savings and how much they might need to save to put away to sort of pay that off within 5 years' time.
Mm.
So it's not sort of a bit of a shock when you come to that, the end of the 5-year period.
Yeah.
And is that scheme open to anyone, Brian, or do you have to be a first-time buyer?
It is now first-time buyers.
Right.
First-time buyers. And that's changed recently, so there's a new version. Might not have been the case with Lynette's daughter, but certainly the new scheme, which has started this month, is first-time buyers.
Right, okay, good. So let's talk a little bit more generally about the housing market and what's going on, because, you know, obviously we are fixated by two things in this country. One is the weather. And it's not very nice weather today. And the other one is property prices. And obviously, you know, since lockdown, is it fair to say that we've seen some slightly different trends in the marketplace in terms of buyer behaviour?
I think so. It's you know, you would have expected with everybody locked down for the property market to be quite stale and not a lot of movement. But actually, it's been the total opposite.
Yeah.
Obviously, the property market closed down completely in the first lockdown last year. So for a few months, there was absolutely nothing happening. But when it came back after the first lockdown, it's been open ever since. And for two principal reasons, I think, it's been very, very buoyant. And we've even seen increases in property prices, which you wouldn't expect in a pandemic. So I think it's partly through people in the first lockdown realising they didn't want to live where they were, so just wanting to move. That could, you know, a lot of people I speak to who were in flats, living in flats in the first lockdown, and the thought of going through another lockdown in a flat horrified them. So wanted to get a bigger place with a garden.
Outdoor space.
So there's that. But I think, and then the second thing that sort of got the property market moving was the stamp duty holiday.
I know, yeah, my daughter is absolutely devastated that it's not been extended until September because our house is not going to be built till September.
She will benefit to a degree because it's, well,
It's tapered, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
So she will benefit as a first-time buyer anyway.
Yes, she will, yeah.
Because that will probably be there. And it's 250,000 until September, so yeah. I think you could have looked at it that it, you know, extended it to June was just kicking the problem down the road.
Mm.
But I think they've been quite clever phasing it out.
Mm.
Hopefully it will mean it won't. Hopefully, I don't think it means it won't be extended again.
Mm.
Because up till June, no stamp duty up to $500,000, and then from July to September, no stamp duty up to 250,000.
Mm.
But of course, first time buyers, even before the stamp duty holiday, didn't have to pay any stamp duty up to 300,000 anyway.
Mm. Mm. So. And is that so? That's staying in place, is it?
There's no. No reason to suspect that they would get rid of that for first-time buyers, but we obviously don't know for sure at this stage. So
yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? It just really highlights how how important it is, I think, Lynette, to get the right advice. And I'm sure your daughter would kind of back that up in terms of understanding the dynamics of the housing market today is actually quite a complicated affair, isn't it, with all these different incentive schemes out there, first time buyers, help to buy, stamp duty holidays. You really do have to kind of know your way around the market, don't you, Brian?
Absolutely. And it's as well as that it's all the lenders' interest, because different lenders are viewing things differently. A lot of self-employed people are potentially struggling at the moment to get mortgages because of the way the lenders are looking at them.
Right.
But some lenders are being very realistic about that. Mm. So, it's knowing the lenders who you can go to in a certain circumstance. That's the benefit you get from a broker. The fact that they know which lender, unless you've got a couple of weeks to make 100 phone calls to every single lender out there to find out what they'll do, of course.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, isn't it? Back in the day, you just used to go to the bank, didn't you, and say, can I have a mortgage, please? And they'd go, yep, absolutely. No problem at all. But now you don't need to do that. There's people out there that can find the best deal for you that suits your needs.
Yeah.
And also remember, there's lots of lenders out there that don't deal direct as well with the public.
Yeah.
And if you try and do it yourself, you won't get access to those lenders.
Right.
So especially if you're an unusual case, you could really suffered because of that.
But I think to the extent now that understanding the dynamics of all these different incentive programs as well would kind of steer you towards a certain type of property purchase, like with Lynette's daughter. It makes perfect sense for her to buy a new build property, because it comes sort of ready to move in, doesn't it, Lynette? It's got curtains and washing machine and cooker.
Oh, I don't think it's got curtains, but it has got a washing machine, it has got a cooker, it's got a dishwasher. Mm. I mean, not being funny, what 22-year-old's got a dishwasher in their house? Do you know what I mean? When I was 22, I definitely didn't have a dishwasher. It's incredible what they can do, and I think it is, in my expectation as a parent. Paige comes to me on a regular basis and says, Mum, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And I don't actually know the answers.
No.
Because I don't know the answers, because there's not something I've done before. No. So I go, can you just ring Phil, which is their mortgage broker, and speak to him? That's what you're paying him for. And then she does. She has a nice conversation with him. He explains it to her in layman terms, and we're all good to go. But so I think it is important to have somebody that knows what they're talking about.
Gosh, yeah. So there's this sort of there's lots of sort of anxious parents out there that that aren't actually able to kind of offer advice in these circumstances, because it is all so new, isn't it, Brian? It really is a whole new kind of dynamic. So
absolutely
good. Right, I think what we'll do, Brian, is we'll play a little bit of music if we can. And then when we come back, I'd like to talk about the kind of the COVID effect on financial markets more generally, if we can. So looking at things like, pensions and green investment funds, I think are very much kind of very topical and in the news at the moment as well. So stay with us, Brian, if you can. And we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody, for the final part of the show today. We've got Brian Downton with us from Downton and Alley Associates on the line. Brian, great to have you with us today.
Great to be here.
Before the break, we were talking about mortgages and what's going on in the housing market and all the sort of the different incentive programs that are out there at the moment, and the need, therefore, to really talk to somebody like you to get some proper, you know, whole of market advice, as it were.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to do now, if we can, is talk a little bit more broadly about the financial markets and the effect that, that COVID has had on the financial markets. And I think it's fair to say that, you know, whilst there was a sort of a bit of a blip, a downward kind of blip, you know, during the first lockdown, since then, stock markets kind of worldwide, they seem to have climbed to sort of new highs. So, I mean, how do we explain that, Brian? What's going on in the marketplace?
Whatever goes on in the marketplace. I mean, you're right to say that, that there's been a huge amount of volatility over the last year. But to be expected, we're in a pandemic. Plus a little thing called Brexit was also happening at the same time.
Yes, of course.
So, yeah, there's been a lot of volatility. I think, to be honest with you, it really, really reinforces what any good financial advisor will say to their clients, which is, you know, if you're looking for a quick win, you're in the wrong place. You need to be looking at the medium to long term. And yes, there will be things that happen in the world which affect the value of your funds at certain times. You know, there's been plenty of examples over the last few years, and there will be going forwards. So Warren Buffett, a very, very well-known person within the markets, has always sort of said it's the time in the market that matters, not trying to time the market.
Right.
If you try and time the market, you'll lose out.
That's a really good saying, isn't it, Lynette?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. That's good.
Yeah, yeah, your time in the market. So, yeah, it's all about... Yeah,
sit it out. Sit it out.
Yeah, and looking at the average kind of return over a period of 25 years as opposed
exactly.
to...
Exactly, and you're quite right. You know, if anybody had panicked last April, May, June, when, markets were down probably 15%, a lot of funds would have been down 15%. Anybody who panicked at that time and jumped ship missed out on the bounce back, which was always going to happen.
And there's more, you know, talk now, isn't there, about that bounce back in terms of, you know, the economy and how resilient the economy is. And I guess,
absolutely.
You know, ultimately businesses have learned to work and to continue.
A lot of businesses have refocused and are working in different ways.
Yeah,
I think we've got to remember that this. Although technically we have been in a recession, it was a voluntary recession. You know, it was purely a voluntary thing. We as a country or as a government or whatever you want to say, decided to go down this route. Personally, I think there's a huge amount of pent up. People want to get out back out there.
Yeah. Well, Lynette, you were saying, you know, your daughter, she's been able to save her deposit, Lynette, for her new home. Because she's just not outspending the money that she would normally be spending.
I mean, we were saying about the positives, and I always really do try and focus on the positives, you know, that she would normally spend, you know, £250 a month in fuel getting to work. You know, she's been working from home, she's been lucky to work all the way through the pandemic, so she's managed to save an extra sort of £2,500 within that year, you know, to put towards her. I mean, she's been great, you know, she knows that she spends that money as she budgeted, and she just put it straight into her savings instead. And it's just been incredible about how much money, extra money, she's been able to save, meaning they can actually look for a house earlier in the year than they thought they were going to.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just that, you know, people have got money sitting there which they may decide to use on holidays, which will help the travel consultants out there who've had an awful time. They may decide to, eat out every night and help the restaurants get back on their feet.
Yeah.
But there is money there, and people are ready and waiting to spend it.
And I guess... that money being there also translates into people's pension pots as well. And, you know, there's new kind of freedom there now, isn't there, Brian, for over 55s to access some of that kind of tax-free cash. They may well have had a bit of a windfall on their, you know, on their investment fund, on their pension fund recently. So, you know, what's the kind of flexibility there for people to, you know, to take money out?
Absolutely. So pensions freedom a few years ago, it gave people the flexibility to that they didn't have to go down the traditional route of taking their tax-free cash and then buying an annuity. From 55, they can take their cash and they can leave the rest of the money invested until they actually retire. But again, it's so important that they take professional advice because bottom line, at the end of the day, that money's been put away for your retirement. If you're taking it out and using it for another purpose, you need to be aware of how that's going to affect your retirement and the money that's available at that point.
Yes.
But subject to that, it's allowed people to get money out for any reason they want to, basically.
And just going back to, you know, businesses and in particular, you know, life insurance, for example, you know, what's been the sort of the COVID effect there? Have we seen a sort of a change in the way that premiums are kind of being calculated?
No real change in the premiums, but the underwriting changed quite dramatically.
Right.
So in the early days of the pandemic, there was a lot of providers potentially not accepting cover for certain periods if people had suffered from COVID. So they might put an exclusion in, for example, that they won't cover for 3 months. They might put an exclusion in that they won't cover COVID-related occurrences. So the underwriting was very, very difficult for a while. It's, you know, a lot better now. I think we've got through it. They know the insurers know more about COVID, the same as the, you know, the medical world knows far more about COVID now. But obviously, one thing they're still looking at, and I think the area that really concerns insurers is the long COVID and the effect that has, and the effect that has on their underwriting. So yeah, you know, it's probably harder. It's more likely that the insurers will do more checks on you now than before.
Yeah.
Premium wise, not really any change.
So maybe some slightly different questions on the eligibility questionnaire and
That's incredible, isn't it?
Every insurer will ask you about your COVID history, if you like.
Yeah.
Scary. And what about if you've had the vaccine? You know, because there's been, you know, you see all these things on social media. Have you checked your life insurance if you've had the vaccine?
There's certainly nothing so far with providers actually asking if you've had the vaccine. Whether that will stay the same going forward, who knows? At the moment, it's more, have you had COVID? Within the last 3 months, most of the
time.
And if you have, then they'll go on and ask a few more questions.
But I mean that in itself, with so much of the population being asymptomatic, is a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a strange question, isn't it, for many people?
Absolutely.
You know, well, I may have had it, but I didn't know I had it.
Yeah, and it's always possible that insurers may stop it. As the testing becomes more available, and not just testing to see if you've got it, testing to see if you've had it, it's possible, I suppose, that insurers may start to ask for that as well, you know, where they normally do medical and check your blood pressure and your cholesterol and such like, they might include going forwards.
Well, the final point I wanted to ask you about, Brian, was the whole kind of green investment space and what's going on there, because obviously, you know, climate change was the kind of biggest single agenda item, you know, facing world governments before COVID. And I think it's fair to say that, you know, that clearly hasn't gone away. And there has been a shift towards, you know, these green investment funds. But, you know, what are you seeing in the marketplace? Is this a growing trend? Is it credible? What does it actually mean, green investing?
Well, that's what I was going to say, actually. What does it mean? You know, we've got some really great literature about it. But, you know, I mean, I've got it in front of me here. And the top of one of the pages, confused. Well, you're not the only one.
Yeah.
You know, what does it mean? What does it mean? And ethical investing means something totally different to different people.
Right.
You know, it could be just a case of making sure that the fund managers that you're involved with are responsible, using your money responsibly. ESG is a term that's mentioned a lot. So environment, social and governance. How does that affect the investing you're making? You can go as far as total exclusion. So some people, ethical investing is, I do not want any of my money with them, and them. So it could be tobacco, it could be oil and gas, whatever you don't like. So, you know, yeah, what is ethical investing? It's different for every person. But yeah. It's being asked a lot more, I think.
Yes. So presumably the kind of the number of green investment funds out there is kind of growing exponentially on the back of that, as different people, you know, want and demand different things.
I think so, yeah. Mm. But as I say, it's more than that. It's it's even going down to the level of, you know, your responsible investment. Just expecting the fund managers to have an eye on this all the time, not just excluding whole areas, but, you know, having, you know, keep it's having the ethical investing side of things as one of their key things in their governance, you know, and everything they think about, that the responsible investing is a part of that.
I've got you. Good. Well, Brian, we need to draw things to a close, unfortunately. But tell us, you know, I'm in the market. I'm looking for some mortgage advice. I've got a pension. I, you know, I'm not quite sure whether to take some money out of it or, you know, consolidate, you know, multiple pension pots. You know, how do we get in touch with you? What's the best way to kind of get in touch with Downton and Ellie?
So various ways. So we've got our website, downtonandellie.co.uk. You can call us 0203-021-0075. You can email me, brian@downtonandellie.co.uk. We've got Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. So there's loads and loads of ways to contact us. But, you know, find me and just send me a message.
Fantastic. Good. And obviously you're always prepared to offer people some initial advice on your time, as it were, just to kind of point them in the right direction.
All our initial advice is free. So.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Well, look, it's been great to have you with us today. And, you've been a super guest. And we wish you all the best with your future fundraising events. What have you got coming up next?
I suppose, so the next proper one is I'm on the start line for Ironman Bolton, UK Bolton, in July the 4th.
Oh, my goodness.
But it is the third year in a row that I've been on the start line there.
Okay. So,
2 years ago, I had to pull out because of injury.
Yeah.
Last year, for obvious reasons, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So we're waiting to hear if it happens at the moment.
Right.
Third time lucky, Brian, I think. Third time lucky.
I would assume it is happening. I was driving in today, and the number of signs I drove past advising deliveries for the Open Golf Championship at Royal St George's, where to go and what to do. So there seems to be, as you said earlier, you know, some real kind of momentum and pent up demand there. So I'd get training if I was you. Brilliant. But for now, Brian, it's been great to have you with us. Thanks so much, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Been a pleasure, Martin.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Lynette, what a action-packed show we've had.
Every time I co-host this show with you, Martin, I mean, it's not that it's been many, but I always have a fabulous time.
Good.
And I learn so much. It's been amazing.
And that's the whole point of it, really, isn't it? It's about sharing the kind of the knowledge that our brilliant guests have.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Fantastic. So thank you very much to Tim Willis, Deputy Chief Executive of Thanet District Council, for joining us today, talking about all the positives that are going on the Isle of Thanet this summer. So, you know, if you're looking for an idea for a staycation, I'm sure Tim and the team at TDC would love to see you. And thanks also to Brian Downton for educating us all about the intricacies of the mortgage market and the housing market at the moment in particular. So that was really interesting, wasn't it, as well?
They're really interesting. And also, not negative, it was positive about what's actually happening in, you know, the world of finances at the moment.
And obviously the reopening today for so many businesses. So we wish everybody all the best there, and you know, a successful, hopefully, summer trading period for all of you out there. So, you know, well done to you. And thank you very much for listening. We always appreciate our listeners, and we appreciate you taking the time to tune in today. But I think, Lynette, on that note...
Yep, goodbye from me.
We need to end the show. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time on the 26th of April. But until then, it's goodbye from us. Goodbye.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.